My name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. Welcome back to the Mindset and Me podcast. This week's episode is a really, really special one. I am so honored to have been able to have this conversation with this incredible man, David Lesser. So David is a social entrepreneur who believes the best way to change the world is to empower people and to be fully themselves. I mean, come on, that's exactly what we talk about. He's guided people and organizations through crucial transitions over 35 years, acting as a coach and confidant to CEOs and senior executives aspiring to the highest levels of personal growth in a variety of fields. But what I loved the most is how passionate David is about not only helping executives and teams and individuals, but believing in the power of creating personal networks of support for people and encouraging and inspiring people to really reach their full potential. He has this amazing mix of spirituality and business coaching and entrepreneurship and expertise, and is now the founder of Numina, which is an incredible company that we will get into. It is an at-home retreat, and honestly, as a coach, I adore learning from way more experienced coaches. And this is a true conversation that I am completely obsessed with. So welcome to the Mindset and Me podcast, David. How are you today?
Pleasure to be here. And I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. So you're tuning in from the US. I would love to kind of talk about that. Obviously, you were born in London. You made the move over. Tell me about your life over there. Tell me everything.
Yes. Well, I can tell you about the move. That's one thing. Yeah. It was a while ago now. But it's all part of, I think, this thing that when we reinvent ourselves, we discover whole new parts of ourselves. And that's that process. I know you're interested in transformations. And I think that those being present for people at those key moments in their life is so important. And it was a really important moment for me when I realized that being a CEO wasn't fulfilling my full potential. It was probably the way I could earn most money, but I recognized that I was here to give something else. I was here to make a difference in a whole different kind of way. And when I was an executive, I was very much focused on helping people grow, helping people be fully themselves to perform in a way that really was successful for the company. We were in real estate, construction, home improvement. So it wasn't like there was a lot of preset things that people need to do. It was like we wanted people to have initiative. We wanted people to be creative. And that set me on this path of tuning into the unique gifts of each individual. And then I realized that that was more my gift. I had my unique gift. I was preaching, prioritize your unique gift. And I decided that I had more to give by full-time supporting the emergence of other people into the fullness of who they are than in just building houses and shopping centers and factories.
I love that phrasing so much. I guess I often talk about this like messy middle point, you know? So when you're making this decision to kind of leave this role and go into this, like talk to me about that moment. Like how was that?
Yes. well, for me, life outside events really were a catalyst. And I think that's true for a lot of people. It's like life conspires to create opportunities for change for you. You can dig in. But I was in a situation where something was going on in the company which didn't work for me. And so at that point, I said, you know what? This is the moment for me to make a move. And I think that happens for people. There's what you listen to inside of yourself. Wow, I'm feeling uneasy. I'm feeling like there's some parts of me that really want to come forward. And then there's what happens outside of yourself. Wow, this is kind of not open. This is not conducive anymore. And the ability, I think, to let circumstances tell you that it's time for a change is a beautiful thing, actually, about life, is that that happens to all of us at one time or another. Circumstances tell us that it's time for a change. And a few of us are lucky enough to have the ears to listen and probably more importantly, have people who can help us admit that change is coming and be more supportive of where we're going than of where we've come from.
So it's interesting you use the word luck, because would you say it's that, or would you say it was deeper than that? It was more than that.
I certainly think it's personal responsibility.
Yeah.
But I think those of us that are aware enough to prioritize our own self-realization are lucky.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, totally. We are. I think it comes from the reflective piece. And we were just talking before, actually, and I was saying how unique I think David is, because you're this highly successful CEO. You work with CEOs now, you have this incredible business, and yet the spirituality that ties into it is something that I just haven't really seen. So I really want you to kind of talk about that piece. Like, say someone just comes across you and they've just heard of you now and they're just listening the first time, what is it that really sets you on fire? I guess, what is your unique gift that you were talking about?
Yes. I've been through all kinds of things myself. So I've had an appetite, and my wife in particular was always looking for the next stone to turn over. So I've done a lot of programs of different kinds, but that's not what the people who come to me get, I think. Sometimes that helps, because I have learned some tools that could be useful to others. But I think the most important gift is in being able to see who someone else is. And I don't think I learned that from spiritual practice. I think I learned that as much from being in business as I did from anything else. It's a hunger that some people just have. And I think really good coaches have that hunger. It's like someone shows up and I just want to know who they are. I want to know what their particular quality that's here when they're here. What strengths, what talents, what gifts they leave behind them after somebody's interacted with them. And of course, a big part of that is the ability to see what hasn't yet come forward. And when you can see the potential that's latent in another human being and help them see that for themselves, I think that's a great privilege.
It is a privilege, completely. I think you put it so beautifully. I think as well, there's something truly unique in your voice and in the way that you describe things. It's actually really quite difficult for me to carry on hosting, because I'm just so lost in your words.
Oh, thank you.
And what you're saying, I'm like, wait, I've got to concentrate.
I'm lost in it too. let me tell you, it's I want to communicate something.
Yeah.
That's useful to people, and that's all I'm here for. So
yeah, I mean, this
we're lost together.
We are completely lost, and this episode is packed full of value. It's incredible, the things we're going to be talking about, your amazing company, the reason that we're here. But I guess for me, I've got a question, maybe quite selfishly. Do you think you need to be spiritual and also need to be a leader in business to be able to kind of create this amalgamation?
Yes. Well, I think we are all spiritual. Mm-hmm. And then that's always a question on my intake calls with people when I'm screening for people who might want to come and work with me. I usually ask about spiritual practice and spiritual life. I hear about people's history, maybe with religion or maybe with other practices they've experimented with. I always think it's interesting to know that. And I haven't yet found a human being who isn't spiritual. It's just, where does that part of their being find its expression? And for some people, it's like, no, they don't believe in anything spiritual. They'd never go near anything new age. But give them a sunset at the beach and they are transfixed.
Yeah.
And so I think part of the art of working with people is to find their spirituality, not to say you have to have it plastered on from outside. You've done these programs or you perform these practices. Mm. And I think that that can be supportive to somebody's spiritual qualities coming forward. But I think it's about who we are. If spirituality is something you do, we've missed the point. Spirituality is something that we are, just as competence is something we are, just as awareness is something we are, just as intelligence is something we are.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that it's a difficult place, isn't it, spirituality, and how to communicate it. Because even what we deem as a spiritual being, what they wear, what they look like, what they eat, what they don't eat, there's all this stereotypes around it. And I mean, we are all spiritual. I would say I'm quite traditionally spiritual, like I'm a meditation teacher. I take my meditation practice very, very seriously. But I also like to wear heels and wear makeup, and like,
doesn't
mean I'm not spiritual, right?
So, in fact, it's important that people who have recognition and who value qualities of being that are only found in those moments of peace and stillness, like you teach, I think it's important that we're in the world.
Yeah.
It's like we shouldn't be separating ourselves by the clothes we wear. For some people, that's an important part of their practice, and I wouldn't take that away at all. If you feel you need to shave your head in order to transform some facet of resistance that you're experiencing, well, that may be your path. I understand that. But I think whenever we wake up to some new facet of ourselves, the art is to bring it, to express it, to have it make a difference.
It's a part of metacognition that I love, which is the bias towards thinking and bias towards action. So we can have all of the thoughts, right? But without the action, what are we actually doing? What are we changing?
Yes. Even if the actions are subtle, doesn't mean you're necessarily visible or prominent. I think there are a lot of people making huge difference on this planet just by the way they live, and they never make the headlines.
Absolutely. So speaking of, you have this incredible product, which was kindly gifted to me, and I've managed to go through some of the lessons, but it's essentially an at-home retreat. And I have never seen this before. I was super intrigued when we heard from you guys. Even just like the premise of it behind it. So I'd really love to kind of deep dive for anyone listening to really understand about Nimina.
Yes. Well, I've always done retreats with my clients. Mm-hmm. So when we start an assignment, I like to spend, my wife and I together would have one or a 2-day retreat at our house with the client, and really get to know them, do a deep dive into what's been going on, where the resistances are, and in particular, getting in touch with who they are, their unique gifts, strengths, qualities, talents, superpowers, and what the growth is that's trying to happen for them. So we find that taking people away from the hustle and bustle really helps people get a new perspective. Mm-hmm. And then pandemic came. So we, no way we're having people in our homes flying to San Francisco to be with us. That just wasn't happening. And I started just trying to do coaching without that deep dive at the beginning, trying to do it, through actual coaching sessions. And I found it didn't work as well. And then I found that over video conference, we could do amazing things. And I committed myself to saying, let's do in the pandemic the same quality of experience that we create for people in the retreat. And that's going to involve sending people materials, sending them instructions so that they can do them. When they're here, I'm facilitating. I tell them exactly what to do every step of the way. When they're there, that's really going to get boring, especially 2 days on Zoom. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So we started thinking of their ways to make this interesting. And it was about sending materials, sending instructions and saying, why don't you do this exercise, this experiential activity, take a photograph, and then we'll debrief it together. Mm. And started to work really well. And then, wow, you know what? This could become a self-guided retreat that could be available to anyone. We could take the same things we've been doing in these in-depth retreats with CEOs and make it available as an at-home retreat that anybody could do. And so we started refining and refining, getting clearer and clearer about the instructions, figuring out which materials to include, making it into a nice package. Mm. And boom, we tested it. We started sending out a very crude version of it, just cardboard boxes and sellotape.
Great. I love that.
And people go, wow, I just had like a transformation. Wow. And we have to keep going with this. Mm. And so we developed the package. We made it into a nice box, made the instructions super clear and easy to follow. Mm. And now it's out on Amazon. Anybody can get it. Newman A Transformation Retreat, Amazon UK as well. Mm. And people can just receive it to their home, take 3 hours out of their lives and have a transformative experience where they get a new perspective on what's happening in their lives, on what they want to create and what's blocking them from doing that and committing to the next steps and getting the support they need to actually make a change happen.
I'd love you to talk to me about the specifics in it because I'm halfway through. I got it like 2 days ago. So I've really tried to do as much as I could before the session.
That's beautiful.
But like the specifics of, I can already feel the way you've designed it. It like builds and builds. So I'd really love to get into like the granular explanation of it.
Yes. Well, we start with a life vision, and I've always found that doing things through different media help a lot. Mm. So with the way we're doing a life vision, we have a lot of like pictures and images and drawings and people pick, usually they're going to pick the life as it is right now, life as you want it to be, and what are the challenges or obstacles in between. And then we ask people to meditate a little bit on those challenges and obstacles and just get a perspective on what's happening. And you did that. I'm sure you found as well that just like stepping back and then using a different media, not the language that you tell yourself in your head about what's going on, but making your whole life visible to you so you can see it. Yeah. And then the wisdom of the one who has perspective starts to get activated and you just start to see things you didn't see before. Wow, I never knew that there's this whole thing that's starting to emerge for me that I could nurture and it would be really fulfilling and really valuable to people. Or there's this block that I keep hitting and it's time not to be stopped by it anymore. Those are the kinds of things people see in that first experiential activity that we call life vision.
Love that. Love that. I think the way you've done it as well is really, number one, gets you away from all tech.
Yes, yes,
people exactly. Telling you to keep doing vision boards online, it's like the distraction. I mean, my brain is so easily distracted, but I just loved like laying out the card. I felt actually like, when was the last time I've done an activity where I'm laying out pictures and cards and kind of mapping out my life? And I honestly can't remember.
Yes, yes. No, that's right. And then other activities we have involve sort of role-playing. And I think my favorite of them all is draw number four, which is called The Big Risk.
Yeah.
And here we start having people identify, having used a similar process to get clear about your big want, what's really driving you, what it is about you that you have to do in your life to be fulfilled. Then we look at the big risk, which is the thing you don't want to have happen. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're ready to actually confront your fears, that's when things get really interesting. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned over the years is that people never get very far fighting their fears. And I'm sure you know as a coach, if you get into a battle with somebody else's fear, you're always going to lose.
Absolutely. Because that fear,
you know, you start telling them, don't be afraid or whatever it is. You start trying to get them to overcome their fear somehow. And of course, the fear's on the inside, so you're never going to win that battle. And so what we do in the big risk process is help a person get in touch with the part of themselves that's managing risks, your inner risk manager. And the activity actually involves using chairs in a room. So you play the role of normal self and play the role of risk manager. And then through the instructions and the journaling that we do, the risk manager gets to say a little bit about where she's coming from. Actually, I'm doing this to protect you from a bad thing that might happen. And we probably find that there's evidence in the life to date as to what it was, that, you know, there's good reason why some risk manager would show up in the person to protect them from that bad thing. There was a time in their life when that was the only way to keep them safe, to shut them down emotionally, for example, or to have them withdraw from activity when the risk got too high. And so rather than fight it, we try to understand where the risk manager is coming from and integrate that into the person's life and say, you know what? It might be time for an upgrade in the operating system here. That there's a way you managed risk that was the only way you could do it when you were little. But now we don't want you to get rid of that part of yourself. We want you to use it skillfully. Use it in a way that can actually support the person's big want coming into being.
Wow. That's like, it's so moving. I'm actually really looking forward to doing that. Well,
yes.
Slash a bit nervous probably to do that draw, but actually it's the thing that we need to lean into, isn't it? It's the thing that we need to confront.
Yeah, confront and then fall in love with your own risk manager and say, you know what, I'm walking down the street and I'm seeing how many risks, dangers and threats I'm being aware of. And I can use that to develop my skill. I don't have to use that to be a block. I can use that to help me navigate difficult situations and actually do more things, not do less things. And I think that's a huge moment in someone's life when you're no longer afraid of your own fear. When you say, you know what, I'm nervous about this. Let me investigate that. Let me use whatever information is in that. But don't let me give that nervousness the driving wheel. Let it help me drive, but I'm still in the driving seat.
It's incredible. It's incredibly moving. I guess what I would love to understand is when someone's kind of gone through the retreat, how would you expect one to be feeling? What kind of things would be coming up for people?
I think empowered. So there's that sense of, wow, I'm more in touch with who I am. I'm more in touch with the unique gifts, strengths, talents, and qualities that are mine to bring. And I'm more committed to prioritizing the expression of those in my life, to find settings that are conducive to my gifts coming forward. And you'll leave with next steps that you're going to do and that sense of perspective. But I think a lot of transformation is really about, and I say empowered because it's like owning the right to live your full life. So many people are like settling for something that's less than they are. And so when you do this retreat, you leave with that sense of, there's no reason for me to be smaller than I am. I can be my full self. And I have the skills to navigate that carefully. It doesn't mean I'm going to put myself at unnecessary risk. But it also doesn't mean that I'm going to trim my my natural expression in order to be who other people want me to be. I'm going to skillfully and all in good time bring my full self into this world.
Anyone who's listening to this right now, and there's parts of it where I think, oh my goodness, I can't wait to be in that space, fully in that space. Anyone who's listening who's maybe feeling at the complete opposite side to that, you know, they're not feeling anywhere near that. They feel discomfort. What I don't like to say advice, but what teachings or learnings could you share?
Yeah. Well, I think you and I share this because we both coach. You know, discomfort is very much your friend. Mm-hmm. A mentor once told me, don't be too quick to relieve other people's suffering because it's helping them grow.
Wow.
So, and you've got to believe that whenever people check in with me for a first coaching session, they're coming with a list of things that they think are wrong. Mm-hmm. Usually things that are wrong with them. They want me to help them change them into their ideal of what a good leader might be. Mm-hmm. And I always find that it's about discovering the gift in that part that's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So if you're in pain, you're uncomfortable, especially if you're in that feeling of, I feel blocked. I feel that there's more of me that wants to come through. I feel my circumstances aren't conducive to my full expression. I think that's, again, I think that makes you one of the lucky ones. Mm-hmm. I don't in any way mean to encourage pain. Let's get rid of all unnecessary pain as quickly as possible. But the discomfort is also a friend.
Yeah.
So I think a big part of getting the support of a coach is the discovery that all the things that are going on, the challenges just as much as the pleasures, are really helping you, especially when you commit to a life which is like, I'm going to express the unique gifts, strengths, and talents of who I am. That's my priority. Mm. And that's as opposed to being comfortable. If your priority is being comfortable, then you should settle in and build a nice, cozy, fur-lined rut. But if your priority is the full expression of who you are, then the discomforts, the moments of challenge, those downtimes, they're part of the process. You want to be thankful for them so you can integrate them and take whatever growth that they have to give you.
Absolutely. It's a huge, huge lesson, and it's this ever-practicing, ever-evolving lesson, isn't it? We want to skip past that part so often and get to the end.
Yes. I mean, for example, a leader recently was talking to me about someone in their team who was feeling disheartened, mm-hmm. low down. And this was a superstar performer, usually very up person. And was worrying and so on. And because it's my instinct, I knew that there was something good that was going to come out of this. And he had been trying to kind of cheer her up, which just doesn't work, right? If someone's in a down space, it doesn't usually help to tell them, here's a list of reasons why you shouldn't feel this way.
Right.
It's just like, I'm feeling down, and now somebody that I respect is telling me I shouldn't feel this way. That's worse.
Yeah.
And so he changed tack and just started asking her what it was like to be in that difficult place, what was disheartened like for you? What were the feelings? What was it like in your body? What thoughts and stories? What was worrying you? What's perhaps sense of injustice was driving this? And their whole relationship changed. It's like now they've got a connection at a feeling level that's like way bigger, way more fun for both of them in their executive lives than would have been if this downtime hadn't happened. So I think being able to be with people where they are is huge, whether you're a coach, a leader, or just a friend to somebody else. You know, we don't want to be shoulding on each other, telling people what they should feel, what they should do, what they should act. That's not appreciated. But telling people, I can feel you where you are, and I could even share my experience, some experiences that happened to me that are similar. That might be supportive. People can gain a sense of confidence from hearing that somebody else experiences these things as well.
I think to have an intuitive level of empathy is like the golden gift, isn't it? Basically, it's amazing.
Yes. And I might say about that, again, I'm dealing with high-powered executives who sometimes don't think of themselves as empathetic. But they do think of themselves as curious often. You don't really get to be a leader of a significant size team unless you kind of got the kind of mind that's willing to look at things that other people might be taking for granted. And that's enough, I think. You don't have, I mean, some people are naturally empathetic. I can see that you are, and I'm sure that makes you a great coach. But some people don't think of themselves that way. And I always say, just ask. Curiosity is enough. Even if you can't really feel what the other person's feeling, you can still ask them and make it safe for them to talk. And that's enough.
It's a really lovely sentiment. I think for anyone listening as well, to kind of take that away and be able to share that gift, that same with a friend, with a colleague. I guess I'm curious to know, you know, you deal with some of like the world's biggest leaders, and what do you do to take care of you? Like to be able to hold space and, you know, because you give so much energy. Like I know, for example, that I have a limited amount of one-to-ones that I do for that reason. So I'm just really curious to know what it's like for you.
Get in my car, roll down the lid and head out into the countryside.
We
have beautiful weather here in California. And I live in an incredible location. I'm 20 miles from the beach in one direction and 20 miles from the wine country in the other direction.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Wow. My dream.
So being with nature, or being, you know, allowing myself alone time, just with, you know, life, the universe and everything and me, that really matters. And it's not just to recharge. I think it's to expand. Because it's like when you're in nature, you see how big the possibilities are, even though, you know, you've been doing this for a while or something. And really, I think what helps me, and this is what I recommend for everybody else, is the support of good friends. And so I have a number of people with whom I have mutually empowering relationships, where we get on the phone each month or each couple of weeks. There's also people I go for drives with and things like that, where we get to support each other. And so I don't think it's realistic if you're only going to be putting out the coaching and then you think that, oh, all I have to do is just advise other people, log things into their lives, and that's going to be enough. Unless you keep opening up to somebody. And that I'm lucky enough to have people in my life who, and actually I do it for different parts of my being. I've discovered some friends are very good at holding me accountable and not letting me get away with bullshit. Others are very good at helping me explore visions that I if I don't start talking about them, I don't see them clearly, or I'm not willing to allow the possibilities that somebody else who keeps like encouraging me might do. Other people help me with my heart. What painful feelings am I feeling today? Where am I stuck? Other people with my anger, which for me is repressed more because I was born in London. What can I say? And so those people help me really like, oh, you need to feel hot about that. You have a right to be, you know, let's see your passion, you know, and then make it safe for me to go to that place rather than, you know, be at risk of living a passionless life or something. I've got people who will ask me about that side of myself and encourage me in a safe place with no real world consequences to find those parts of my being that need to be given room to play their parts in my overall life.
I think that is incredible advice for anyone listening, especially for any coaches or anyone who's self-employed, because it seems that you become self-employed, then you think you have to do everything on your own. And actually, like, it's the complete polar opposite. You need to find your tribe. You need to find those people to confide in that motivate you, that you motivate. And I think that's a really amazing point to share.
Yes. I mean, we'll do what one thing, but certainly one of them would be find somebody and make a formal, mutual, supportive peer coaching kind of relationship where you talk to each other every month, half hour phone call, 15 minutes each way. And if you do nothing else but do that, you'll just, you know, they'll love listening to you and they'll love being listened to by you. Mm. And you just get into that, that routine of, I know I'm going to be asked what's really going on for you. Mm. And I'm going to start to want to talk about that. And then I can hold that space for someone else. So it's mutual. And yeah, do that one thing and that will certainly support your growth.
I think that's an amazing thing, definitely, to share with people. Before we end, I mean, David, I could talk to you for hours.
Yeah, I could talk to you too.
I'm very, very conscious of how busy you are in your time. So I would love, you have this wealth of like decades in the industry. What is one, I mean, this is a big question, what is one mindset hack that you would like to give to our audience to take away? Say someone is literally just starting on this journey, what would you say?
Yes. I think the most important thing is to find your unique gifts. And then you know, the rest of the process is finding conducive settings to express that. Mm-hmm. And I think the best way to get clear about who you are and the unique gifts that are like yours to bring is by asking people who know you well. And that's why we have this gift finder tool that I'm going to offer free to all your audience if they'd like to.
We're
developing a tool where you can like send an email to four of your friends and get anonymized feedback about your unique gifts, strengths, talents, and qualities.
Oh, I love that.
And I think whether you do it this way or whether you just ask people, but go get feedback. Mm. And the first feedback you want isn't feedback on what's wrong with you. The feedback you really want is, how do you see my unique gifts? Mm. And if people want to just write to me, david@numina.team, that's Numina, N for Nancy, U-M-I-N-A.team, david@numina.team. We'll do that free for you. We'll set you up on the gift finder and you can ask people you know how they see who you are.
That's so generous. I'll obviously share all of this in the show notes as well, so people can just literally scroll down and click that. But I just want to say the biggest thank you, and also for kindly gifting me the retreat. I, as a coach, love anything that is reflective, and I think it's an incredibly powerful tool that you've created. So thank you.
Great. Yes. And encourage people to go to Amazon and look up Numina Transformation Retreat.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Get the benefit of that.
Definitely. I'll be sharing about it all on social media as well. So David, thank you so much for being here. I'm so honored. And do keep in touch.
And you too. And you keep in touch with me too. I would very much like to hear from you if you have anything that could be interesting to share. Any way I could help you, I'd love to. You're certainly helping me by doing this.
Oh, you might regret that, David. But we'll leave it there.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Bye. I really hope you enjoyed that episode as much as me. Again, I am honored to have been able to connect with David. He is truly such an incredibly warm and comforting man, but just has this wealth of knowledge and an ability to speak in a way that is so incredibly engaging, but also incredibly inspiring. The work that he has done and the people that he's worked with, thank you so much, David, for being on the Mindset in Me podcast. We're truly honored. So you know what part of the podcast it is. I want you to get really cozy, really comfortable. We're going to go into our mini meditation. On this week's mini meditation, I really want you to just take a moment. When we hear these incredible stories, sometimes we have these feelings and these emotions that come up. And what is that emotion for you right now? Maybe you feel inspired. Maybe you want to lean into what you want to change. I want you to allow yourself to welcome in this emotion. All emotions, all feelings are totally valid. All emotions and all feelings are totally valid. Draw in that breath. emotions. All feelings are valid. Feeling the body start to soften slightly. Letting go of the things you're holding on to. Feeling the body soften, all feelings, all emotions are valid. All feelings, all emotions are valid. I welcome in whatever I am feeling. I know that every day I will feel different. I welcome in how I am feeling today. I know every day will feel different. Welcome in how I am feeling today. Keep breathing in. Let go of expectation. I accept where I am today. Drawing in a nice deep breath, taking a moment just for you, and gently opening the eyes. As always, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. It means the world to me if you can subscribe, leave a review. It just takes a minute, but it means so much to us here. So thank you so much for everything, and I will see you again next week.